Hello and welcome to Module 3 of this course, Application Performance Monitoring. Up until this point, we've had a look at the overview of APM, the approach, the benefits, things to think about, key considerations, DevOps, and had a view of what is Application Performance Monitoring. Then we moved into the first set of tools, which was Application Insights, had a view of Application Insights, the benefits to developers, to operations, and to the business as a whole, getting deep insights information into their applications. Now in Module 3, we're going to look at the next set of tools that are available based in the System Center bracket. So within System Center now, we'll start to get an understanding of where is the tool, how does the tool set actually work, where does it provide information to developers, to IT operations, and possibly the business if you wanted to extend that as well. And so we'll get a nice understanding that this piece of the course will give us a view of what we can monitor from on-premises, possibly stretch to public cloud offering as well, depending on where our application is being housed. Let's now move across to the actual module overview and understand the key points that we're going to go through now in this particular module. The first piece is we'll introduce System Center Operations Manager, or SCOM as the acronym is known. Understand the integration and configuration options that are required if you want to have full monitoring from an application perspective between developer and operations. Understand what are the key components around monitoring applications and what is involved within from a System Center perspective, from a Visual Studio perspective as well. Then the last piece to close off this module will be exploring the metrics that are involved. How do we start to have the single instance of truth between teams? How do we have a view of what is happening from a performance perspective? And ideally tie it back to a reporting stance to understand the view of the information that we're getting out of our application performance monitoring. So let's move across into the first component of this module, an introduction to System Center Operations Manager. And the first piece to have a view of is, what is Operations Manager? Where does it fit into play? What is the key pieces around SCOM? Within Operations Manager, a true end-to-end monitoring tool that allows us to have a view of the infrastructure, and that infrastructure could be physical, could be virtual, as well as the possible applications that are being housed on top of our infrastructure. Whether it be custom Microsoft applications, such as Exchange, SQL, SharePoint, etc., or whether it be third-party applications that we're able to monitor through the extensions offered by those vendors, or custom configurations of monitoring components that we want to look at the application or hardware layer. So Operations Manager really is our end-to-end solution around monitoring, whether it be up, down, fast, slow, is the device there, what stance is the device operating in, what layer is the application working at, is it good, is it bad, are there exceptions, truly an end-to-end monitoring solution for the whole stack. Most of Operations Manager is catered from an extension to management packs, allowing us to extend what Operations Manager knows about the device or the application or service that we want to monitor. These management packs can either come from Microsoft themselves, from third-party vendors whose devices or applications we're going to be monitoring, or by custom written management packs that we might be using for custom solutions that we want to monitor. So truly end-to-end component. As we step through this module, we'll be looking at the infrastructure integration pieces from an operations management perspective for true application performance monitoring. Now, before we climb into the configuration, look and feel on Operations Manager, we need to understand one step back, what are the options that we have around configuring the monitoring components for SCOM. The first piece to have a look at is the server-side monitoring. So monitoring the actual code that is executed and delivered by the application. So in Module 1, when we did the overview of the options that we might need to monitor, we looked at public, private, and hybrid. Now we need to think about that server infrastructure layer component. What is actually happening with the application housed on top of that server component, and what are the things that we need to consider or look at from a performance or exception perspective on our backend? And this is where it becomes very important for operations to understand what is the application actually doing on our infrastructure, and what are the key things we need to look at to alert developers or users from a performance or exception perspective. The next piece is the client side. What is the actual end user's experience around the application performance, the application that we're going to be monitoring for performance or for exception? How long does it take for a page to load? How long does it take for a service to talk to our backend to our front end, depending on server or network latency. And ideally, are we having any exceptions that are occurring that could be impacting our users on the front end? Again, always keep in mind and consider that a user might be an external customer, or it could be an internal business, developer, or department or team that could be using the application. And the third piece really is synthetic monitoring. How do I get a view with some predetermined tests from around the world? What is the experience of users accessing my application? And this is where we start to look at these testing paths that you can leverage from Microsoft around the experience around the world, and you can determine which locations you'd like to monitor depending where your application is housed or where your users are accessing the application from. So as the last piece to finish off the synthetic piece, Global Service Monitor really allows you to leverage predetermined tests from Microsoft Azure to give you a view of the experience that the users will be having accessing your application. So to close off this piece around the module, an intro into Operations Manager, it's our end-to-end monitoring tool from Microsoft. You can extend it by custom Microsoft management packs, third-party management packs, or custom written management packs for your solutions, giving you the view of monitoring from all the layers in the stack, whether it be at the physical networking layer, to the infrastructure from a server perspective, operating systems, the applications above it, and with true monitoring from an external perspective, with traditional tests from a global service monitor tool from Microsoft, what is the view of a user accessing an application that might be external outside of our environment? However, to build those pieces up, we need to understand what is the integration that is required from a System Center perspective. How does Operations Manager integrate with Visual Studio, allowing us to pass and move alerts and information backwards and forwards between infrastructure operations teams and development teams on the other side? So now if we look at the integration and configuration components required from SCOM. So the first piece that we need to understand is how do I and what do I integrate with Visual Studio, and in this case the Team Foundation server component within the Visual Studio bracket. And when we look at the configuration requirements, we'll start to understand why in Module 1 the approach on how we start to manage and monitor applications starts to bear fruit now when we start to technically configure the relevant components. And it's good to understand that once we know how the tools work, the integration components that are available out of the box, it allows us to build up the questions that we need to have in play when we start to approach application performance monitoring. What do I need to ask developers? What do I need to understand from the business perspective? And possibly the user perspective as well. If we then look at file attachment options that we have, as we have alerts coming in based on our performance metrics and settings, we can now start to understand, do we start to send these alerts with the relevant information to our developers, or do we let our developers get the alerts and go and pull the actual attachments in it from the alerts from a central network location? And what are the benefits to either or both? And this is important to understand because as we start to monitor an application and the dependencies for that application, when we pick up performance or exceptions within this monitoring, we can send these alerts across to the relevant developers and allow them to get true insight immediately to what the alert is responding. So as we step through the different demonstrations now in this module, you'll see those pieces and see the view and experience that a developer will get as alerting starts to move between developer and operations teams. We'll also now need to understand, when we synchronize these alerts with Team Foundation Server, what are the requirements? What does Operations Manager need to send alerts across to the development teams? And if I want to move an alert back to the operations team for more insights, more information, a change, more workings, what are the requirements? And then we'll need to understand what is the impact from an experience perspective between operations and developer and backwards and forwards. The last piece that we'll kind of start to think about on the experience side is from a profiling perspective, using integration with IntelliTrace. How do I, as an operations person, enable developers to have a lot longer view into errors, whether they be exceptions or performance? As a developer, how can I leverage this integration to give me true insight into what my code is actually doing in the area where it's being housed, whether it be in our data center or a hosting provider's data center? What is actually going on within my application? So now let's move across to this demonstration. In this demonstration, we're going to understand those key pieces. What is the configuration required from an operations manager perspective? What are the key considerations from a development perspective? How do I tie this back to my approach around building out APM, as discussed in Module 1? And then how do we understand the key configurations from a client-side or server-side perspective for performance or exceptions? That'll allow us now in this demonstration to build out the first building blocks around what do we need from an infrastructure layer perspective. Then we'll come back and we'll understand a little bit more around layer above it and the experience of issues being experienced and passing that information backwards and forwards between operations and development. So let's move across into this demonstration now and get a view into exactly what do we have here. So we'll spend some time now in this console and move between Operations Manager and Visual Studio to understand the configuration requirements that we need to have in play. So the first piece that we're going to have a look at now is, for those that are new to System Center, this is the Operations Manager console, and this is the view that you would have when alerts would be coming in for a particular application. So just for a quick orientation to understand what we're looking at over here, on the left-hand side in the monitoring pane, we have a view of what Operations Manager is looking at. So if we have a quick zoom in here, we'll have a view that in this example, in this course today, we're having a look at some application performance monitoring, we're looking at some .NET monitoring, and we're monitoring a relevant website. And within that, we're starting to build up a full view of what is actually happening on that application, whether it be performance, whether it be exceptions. So this view now on the left-hand side is where the operations team would work with the configuration of what needs to be monitored. Now, for an operations team to configure that, they would need information insight from the development team. So what application are we looking at? Within that application, what components are we going to monitor? And when that configuration is set up and monitoring and alerts start to come through, where do we send that information? So what we'll do now is we'll step one layer out and have a look at the configuration requirements that need to be put into play. And as we move through this demonstration into the second demonstration, we'll start to navigate and experience more around the Operations Manager console that needs to be used. So we'll go back now and have a look at this component and understand the configuration requirements that are needed. So if I look at the configuration for Operations Manager to not only monitor but send items backwards and forwards for developers, there are two key areas that we want to have a look at. The first one really is synchronization of what is called work items. And these would be items that we would send across and will be logged within Team Foundation Server for developers to action or work on. The other piece is really, what are we monitoring and how should those thresholds be set on the server side and client side? So the first piece we want to understand is the work items. What are they and what should we think of them as operations people? And then what really are we going to configure from an application perspective? So the first component really is the work item synchronization. If I expose this now and have a look at the configuration required, this will now give us a view that we now want to monitor an application. In this case, it's our Fabricam Fiber website. And we also need to understand really where are we going to send this information. So once we have an alert come into Operations Manager and the alert is relevant to a Fabricam Fiber website in this case, what do we do with that alert? Where does it get sent to when we assign that call to the development team? And then when we assign it, what is actually happening on the other side? And the second piece that we see here in the actual wizard itself, on the synchronization account, is the relevant Active Directory account that is required with the relevant permissions on the Team Foundation server side. So we've got two areas that we're looking at now. One is the where are we going to send the alerts to, and secondly, what permissions does Ops Manager need to send those alerts across to Team Foundation server? Now, if you go back to the approach that we discussed in Module 1, we would need to understand on the development team side, firstly, where are we sending this? Where is the TFS that we're going to be sending this to? And within that, what projects are we going to be assigning this to? That is information the development team needs to give back to us as the IT professional. And then when I need to send those alerts across, I need to have the ability to contribute on the TFS side. So the relevant Active Directory account that we're going to be using needs to have contribute access on the TFS side with that relevant project. This is the discussion that needs to happen in the approach to APM. I need to know what account can I use, or if I create an account as an operations person, the development team needs to give that account the contribute permissions on the TFS side. So that's the first piece around how do I move these components on setting up the base infrastructure. Now if we go back to the console and have a quick look at the project settings section over here. This now gives us a view, or firstly, and it's a very simple configuration that we have here, but really, where should I be sending these alerts? If you think back to the approach and management discussion we had in Module 1, the idea was to understand who are the relevant people involved in the application or applications. Who are the different teams? Who are the members within those teams? Because in large enterprise application environments, we might have a team dedicated just to a feature set within a full application. Well, if I'm going to be monitoring that feature set, I wouldn't necessarily want to send the alerts coming in to all of the development teams. I would want to send it to the relevant development team. And again, in my planning and understanding on the approach for application performance monitoring, I would build that out. The application, the relevant dependencies on the infrastructure and application layer, the teams that support those various dependencies, and then who is responsible to receive the necessary alerts. If I have an operations team responsible for a certain infrastructure in my private cloud, I would send them the alerts for the application that is housed on that infrastructure. And the same is true in this wizard now. In the configuration side, I want to map through the correct location of where to send these alerts. Again, this would be information grasped or gathered in the approach and planning section of my application performance monitoring. So that's the first piece. The first piece around synchronizing work items. And work items is the key tag to understand as an IT pro. As a developer, it's natural to think of work items. When we look in our second demonstration a little bit later, we'll understand how we use those work items. So as an IT pro, think of a work item as exactly that. It's an item that sits within TFS, has a nature of work, but assigned to a development team or a developer. So in this case now, our alerts that we know as IT pros will be created as work items on the TFS side. The next piece now to look at is the actual monitoring component itself. So in this location now, we're monitoring the relevant website. And if I expose this configuration over here, you will notice that we have, and what we've been speaking about for the last few minutes, is server-side and client-side monitoring. So in this example, on the first piece, we're looking at the relevant website that we're going to be monitoring, in this case, from a .NET perspective. Then above that now, we need to understand what are the actual components that we need to configure on the server side and the client side. In the module one, we understood a little bit about that. In the intro now, we've understood a little bit more on client side and server side monitoring. Now, as an IT pro, we can configure the monitoring. We can set up the actual location of what to monitor, but we need to understand the thresholds that need to be monitored. And again, this comes back to the approach and the planning section of APM, where we understand that the thresholds that need to be set up. So once we have shown and understood and explained the application layer that we're going to be monitoring, the developers need to feed back to us to explain the thresholds that need to be set. There is no point setting thresholds too high, as in no alerts will be coming through. And if we set it too low, we'll be flooded with alerts and start to really lose value in Operations Manager. If we now look through these different tabs, and we'll step through them one by one, we'll understand what we can do at the layer around monitoring server-side and client-side configuration. So let's understand firstly the server-side piece. And I'll expand this from a little component over here. Now we get a view of what are we going to be monitoring. Ideally, this is where the developers would provide information back. The easiest way is to really sit down with the developer or developers and understand that we're going to be monitoring their application or their area of an application. What would they like the thresholds to be set at? And do they care about performance? And do they care about exceptions? In some cases, developers might not be worried about one or the other. In some cases, they might want both. So what configuration options do we actually have here within the console? So let's have a look at that now. The first piece is, what do you want set up around the monitoring? When the events come through that we're going to be looking at, is it performance, is it exception, or both? Then if we start to configure them, what is the piece around performance that you're interested in, and what should those thresholds be set at? If it's exception monitoring, what do you care about? Again, these are questions that the application developers need to give to us. If you just look at the exception event monitoring as a simple example, we have security alerts, connectivity alerts, failure alerts. Do developers care about security? For a certain feature set, they might not care. But as a whole, they might care about connectivity and possibly care about failures. And this is where we need to tweak and set what we information we want coming back, as well as the threshold that needs to be looked at for the relevant components. So let's understand a little bit more about that now. So as we look at these different key areas, from performance perspective, I can come and set my thresholds up. These are the defaults that you see here now set up in the console. But I can work through and I can select whatever is relevant from a monitoring perspective. So now if I look at exception events per second, what percentage should be set up? Is 15% too high or too low? Should I change that? Now the easiest way to start to work with these thresholds and have a view of them is to actually start to monitor an application a lot earlier in the actual life cycle. So if we think back into module one, we had the application lifecycle management framework. One of the very first stages was planning. So as a developer moved from ideation around an application into actually developing the application, how do we assist them monitor those stages? How do we actually monitor an application in the early stages before it moves into production? If we monitor an application with a tool like Operations Manager, we can give real feedback to developers in the early stages of that application development. Then the developer can start to get a real world view of what the thresholds should be set at. They might, for example, have a view that I want a certain amount of events to happen every 3 minutes and the percentage should be 30%. When it comes to production, we can start to tweak it immediately based on the results and the experience achieved in the development phase. Now at this point we have a key consideration as well. Operations Manager, very much an enterprise monitoring tool. If I want to monitor this application in the development phase or the various stages in development, I would need to have an agent out there on the relevant components to monitor those applications. That would be quite a task to keep pushing out if I am provisioning and deprovisioning infrastructure the whole time. The other option is to start to use the Microsoft Monitoring Agent. This is a stripped out component for Operations Manager. It's a standalone utility that can either feedback alerts to the developers or can integrate back in to Operations Manager. Now this would be a simple command line tool that can be used and easily configurable and to set up from a deployment perspective. So that is a nice piece to hand back to developers and say, well, here we go, here's a free utility that you can manage and use and feed back the information into the enterprise tool Operations Manager from a statistics perspective or reporting perspective. Or if you want a true enterprise develop operations, feedback directly into operations tool and allow us to learn in that lifecycle flow. Either way, if I want to work within this console now, if I'm doing my testing in the early stages, when it comes to production, I can start to have real value in the thresholds that I set up. So let's go back and have a look at these thresholds that we looked at a few minutes ago. So if I'd spend a bit of time with my developers and I'd worked with them in the early development phases, I would come to production and probably have a real world view of what I want these to be set up as. Then I can start to configure for true performance or exception monitoring. If we now move out of this for a second and we go back to looking at the client side monitoring, I can now step into this as well in a very similar look and feel. Do I want to monitor performance and exceptions, or just performance and no exceptions? Again, this comes down to what the developers that are going to be receiving these work items are interested in. This will give us a view on the client side. Are they experiencing any performance issues or exception issues from our application? And the same way we look at the server side piece now, we would step through this configuration for this particular website in this case and configure those thresholds based on the developer's requirements on what they deem acceptable for the user on the other side. As IT pros, we might think a certain percentage, a certain wait time, a certain exception, number of exceptions might be acceptable. But as a developer, I might have a very different view of that. I might think that any exception I need to be alerted about. From a performance perspective, I might think that 3 milliseconds or 5 milliseconds might be okay for a certain component in my application. Again, to build that out, I need the input from the planning phase. We've built out our approach for the application performance monitoring. So let's just step out from that for a second, just to recap what we're really looking at over here. So we've set up the synchronization for our work items. As alerts come in, they move back into our Team Foundation server, and that'll make sense when we get a view of them coming into the developer's experience. And then we've had a look at the configuration side from a performance perspective, the client side, the server side, and what should those thresholds be set at. The takeaway here for IT Pro and Dev, if the thresholds are incorrect, the amount of alerts will be either be too high or too minimal. So we need to find that sweet spot between monitoring and application. And this is proactive work that will continually be done, because you'll always end up tweaking those thresholds based on demand, based on trends that might be experienced with your application and your infrastructure. Now, this piece needs to be understood from a perspective of there's input required for the configuration, and some of it the IT pro cannot answer. The developer has to answer. And hence why we come back to that planning stage in the application lifecycle management of both personas working together and trusting each other around providing input for this piece. Now, what we'll do is we'll step back and have a view from a performance perspective. What should I get from the actual configuration experience as a developer or as an IT pro? So let's move into the next section, the actual monitoring applications and the types of applications. So using System Center with integration with the likes of Team Foundation Server, I can start to monitor .NET applications and Java applications. And this is where we will start to show more and more investment around what we can get from an insights perspective into applications. As we make more and more progress and announcements around our development tools, around more than .NET and Java, and moving into open source communities, we will start to have the ability to give insight into the code that will be running on those relevant locations. From an integration perspective between Operations Manager and TFS, when I set the introduction to Operations Manager, I spoke around management packs. Now, in this instance, we have to import the management pack for Team Foundation Server. Now, this is natively a Microsoft product within the Visual Studio Stable, so obviously we have a management pack that is available for us to import and use. When we import that management pack, we then have the ability to configure the things like work item synchronization, .NET application performance monitoring, or Java performance monitoring, application performance monitoring. That import, ideally, we'd need to understand from an operations perspective, it's like any other management pack. We extend what Operations Manager has a view of or knows within the Visual Studio Team Foundation Server component. The Microsoft Monitoring Agent. Now, I mentioned that a few minutes ago from a configuration perspective. And this now becomes a discussion point between operations and developers. This is a utility that Microsoft has released a little while ago around giving the flexibility for developers who might not have interaction or might not have integration with System Center Operations Manager, or their operations team might have a third-party tool that is being used for monitoring their infrastructure. In this case, developers can download and use the Microsoft Monitoring Agent either as a standalone tool, giving insight to performance and exceptions, or integrating with Operations Manager on the other side. This now becomes a discussion and a consideration when you start to look at building out your application performance monitoring movement within the relevant team that you are working with inside of. Now let's take it to the next level now. What is the example and view of developers and operations using these different tools and tool sets? What we're going to have a look now in this demonstration is understanding we've done the configuration of integrating Operations Manager with Team Foundation Server. We've set up the configuration. We know what we're going to be looking at and where we're going to be sending the work items to. And we've also set up the thresholds that we should be caring about as an operations team. Now, what actually happens after that? When alerts come in, what is the experience? What is the information that comes back in? When an alert comes back in and we need to send it across proactively to our development teams, what is that process? And then on the other side, as a development team, when I receive these items, what do I need to do with them? And what can I do with them? From a support perspective, from a troubleshooting perspective, to go away and remediate as quickly as possible. At the same time, if I might need to send it back to my operations team, what is that experience and what is the process backwards and forwards between those two personas? So we'll now move across to that same environment we're looking at now and get a view backwards and forwards. What is the considerations that we need to understand and work with? So when we left Jadl a few minutes ago, we were looking at the configuration side. If we now step back to the console look and feel around an operations person's experience, let's spend a few minutes understanding the console itself for those that haven't seen Operations Manager. And then let's understand from a console perspective, we have these application alerts coming in for performance or exception perspective. What do we need to do with them and what is the experience that will be had from an operations perspective? So as we go back to this now, let's have a look. We've understood the monitoring component within the console itself on the left-hand side. Now we look in the center, we have this thing called active alerts. And these are alerts that have come through either from an exception perspective or performance perspective. Now, as an operations person, I need to do something with this alert that has come in. So if I select one of the alerts, one of the later alerts, I start to have information built up here at the bottom. So we've selected the relevant alert. It said that we've had a server application exception that's occurred. If I drill down to the bottom, I start to get more information that's available. Yes, there's the actual source of where the alert has occurred, where the full path has been, and what's actually happened. Well, we've set up application performance monitoring, as you saw in the last demonstration, so hence a threshold has been breached, and that's why the alert has come through. On the alert description, this piece is important to understand. On the description component, we've got a view here now as an operations person that something has happened. Something has happened here on this website, and from an operations perspective, I might not really understand what this alert is. I have the option of clicking on this and actually getting a view into this. And the reason I point this out is, if we step one layer back, is if I click on that alert, that URL, I start to get a view of the alert window. And this gives me a bit of information into what is actually happened on this alert layer. So App Diagnostics kicks in. It'll now give us the option of opening up the alert window and giving us a view into that particular event. In this case, as an operations person, hey, great, a system null reference exception has occurred. As operations, I might have no idea what that is. But ideally now, I shouldn't need to worry too much about that. The process that we've defined here in our environment is that when an alert comes in for this particular Fabricam Fiber website, I need to pass that across to my engineering team. But the fact that I can click on this URL and get a view into what the alert has complained about, what it has said, and information that is inside of this gives me a view as an operations person into the actual error that has occurred. And why I'm pointing this out now is that when I go across to the developer experience and the developer clicks on the URL as well, it's the same source of truth. It's the same knowledge base that we'd be looking at if we were making changes within our environment. So now at this point now, I have no real view, I have no real understanding on the real true nature of this error that has occurred. I would want to send this across to my developer team on the other side. What is that experience like, and what should that look and feel be like? If I move back here now, and I have my event ID window, great, an exception has occurred. I'm not quite sure what it is. I know it's a web error by the looks of it. So I can close that down, close the window that was pulling out that task. I can now select that particular alert and change the resolution state. And what I want to point at here from a resolution state perspective is, I would want to assign this to engineering over here. This little option over here then takes this alert and moves it across to Team Foundation Server and creates a work item on the developer side. So as soon as I say assign to engineering, that is what's going to happen. In the background, the account that we used that has contribute access on TFS is going to create the work item and take across all the relevant information as we see described in this alert. Again, now I have two items, the alert plus the work item. But across both, I'm looking at a single source of truth around the knowledge base, as well as the error that's been generated within this particular alert. So if I move back over here now, and I do exactly that, I say set resolution state, and we assign it to engineering. The alert is updated. The resolution state has changed to assigned to engineering. Now it's gone somewhere, and in this case, it's gone to Team Foundation Server. Now as a developer, the tools I use to get a view of this is Visual Studio. If I move down to Visual Studio, so we just minimize that for a second, go back to Visual Studio, just maximize this for some retail space. I'm logged in here as a developer, and I have my project that I'm working within, and you will see the project is exactly the one that we assigned from a configuration perspective. It's our Fabricam Fiber site, and the project URL is the one that we assigned a little bit earlier in the configuration. In this case, it was our DevOps All server that we were sending it to. So now as a developer, I can come in here and have a view of my area of responsibility. Remember, a developer might be looking after the whole application or just a subset of the features of an application. So in this case, I would come in, have a look at my project, understand the workspace area that I'm working in, and what work items might be assigned to me or available for me to have a look at. So let's have a look at that now, understand the work item piece that's come across from the operations manager perspective. So I come into my work items, and the key thing that I want to have a look at is something called operational issues. Now, when we create a work item within Team Foundation Server, that is the item tag that's going to be given operational issue. So when I build out my queries to actually pull through all those operational issues, that is the work item type that we need to be looking for. So alerts in Operation Manager, work items in TFS with the type operational issue. So if we step back here now and we actually run this particular query over here, or let's edit it first rather and give us a view of what we're looking at. So the work item type in this case is operational issue that you see over here. So as a developer, I might want to build out my relevant queries. A query for an application, a query for certain features within an application. And within those, the work item type operational issue. This will now allow me to find any alerts that have been sent across by my operations team assigned to my project with the relevant work item type of an operational issue. So that's the creation of a query. However, when I run this query, I want to see all the operational issues come back to me, and then I can decide to accept, assign them, change them, etc. going forward. So let's have a look and see exactly what that is about. So if I close that edit down for a minute, and I run this query over here. Oops, sorry, run it again. I now get a view of all the relevant work items that have come back with the type of operational issue that we see over here. And within the middle, you'll see that these are referring the same website that we were looking at the Operations Manager side. So now as a developer, staying within my toolset, Visual Studio, no need to go and have the Operations Manager console installed or anything like that. I stay within Visual Studio, I get insight into my application that has been generating exceptions or performance alerts on the operations side in production. Now when this comes across as a work item, I can decide what I need to do with this component. So in this example, I'll have a look at some of the work items that might have been assigned. So here's a new one. It's got a state of new. If I double click on that and I expose that a little bit deeper, I can come within this item now and say, right, I accept this. The reason I accept this is I'm the developer responsible for this particular website. I can acknowledge the incident. So I can save that work item. Now that I've saved it, I can come back in here and I can assign it to someone. Within assign, I need to select a particular development or development team. So I'll send it to myself as the administrator and save that work item. Now this work item has been assigned to me as Morgan in this case. I can change the priority, I can change the severity. Remember now, as a developer, I understand the impact this error has been caused. I know what has happened. Is this a severity 1 issue, or is it possibly a bit lower priority from a severity perspective? If I make the changes here, I will have that reflect back in Operations Manager console on the other side. So when I change the state to assigned and I own that, if I go back to the Operations Manager console, so remember now we've set assigned, I've assigned it to Morgan as the administrator. I go back to the console and I do a refresh on those alerts over here. It's been acknowledged as a resolution state on that particular call. Now as an operations person, I know that the development team is now responsible for any particular component or the full SLA for this alert that has come through. If that had stayed as new, I would know it's not been accepted on the other side by the development team and not been assigned or saved and taken responsibility for the error has come through. As part of my process, I need to ensure that the relevant development teams know how to use and accept those components from a Visual Studio perspective. Right, so as a developer now, I've taken this alert, I've accepted it, I've assigned it to a relevant developer or security group within my configuration on TFS, and they are then responsible to remediate that. Now what would that process be? If we go back to the console now, and we go back to Visual Studio, right, this has been assigned to me as Morgan. You'll notice in the bottom over here, this information. If I zoom into that for a second, you'll see that information is exactly the same information that we got in the actual alert window as an operations person with the relevant URL that we can click on. So what are the benefits of that? Again, it plays back to that single truth, single knowledge base from an alerting perspective. So as my operations person, when I clicked on that URL, the event ID window opened up, and I had the view into this alert with some error that I didn't quite understand because I'm an operations person, don't really know development, don't really know code. However, on the developer side, the developer's experience, when he clicks on that URL, he has a view into exactly what he knows, his daily understanding of application development. So let's take it to the next level now. The developer has opened up this URL, has a view into this error. What is the experience like? So if we go back, to the actual event ID window. You'll see right the same window has opened up. I can click on that and I can have a view into what's actually gone wrong. So either from this perspective I can troubleshoot and work and fix the problem straight away, or I might want in-depth view of what's gone on. So let's go back and have a look exactly what that process would work like. So there was one that was assigned to me as administrator, and we can open this one up, have a look at it, click on the relevant URL, get a view. I now have the ability to download the IntelliTrace log. So if I zoom into this action section over here, I get the option of pulling out an IntelliTrace log. Now from a development perspective, that is native to developers to understand what is actually going on within the code, within the stack from my application perspective. But in this example now that we've integrated Operations Manager with Visual Studio, we have integration from an IntelliTrace perspective as well. So the first piece I'll show you now is downloading the IntelliTrace log, giving me insight into what has actually gone wrong. But if I want more than that, if I want a larger window into actually what went wrong, I have the ability to allow my operations team to pull that for me and create a larger log file for me to work with. So let's see exactly what that looks like now. So if I jump out and say download IntelliTrace log file, I'll get the little pop-up at the bottom here saying, do you want to open this? If I say open, it's going to stay within the native tools in Visual Studio that I understand. I have a view now of that exception. I can go into this and I can say, right, please debug that for me. Now immediately I've got a view into an error or an exception or a problem from, in this case, a null reference exception into a piece of code. This allows me now as a developer to troubleshoot really, really quickly where this piece of code and the error sits within my application. Opposed to something we discussed in Module 1 in that application lifecycle management, the developer not having deep insight into what is actually the root cause to a production operations issue that might have been escalated or sent across to us. Now, since I've done the integration between Operations Manager and TFS, I have a view that I can firstly move items across, but secondly, I'm enabling the developers to have true insight into the application from an exception or performance perspective. In this case, it's an exception perspective. Now the developer doesn't have to spend hours, days, possibly troubleshooting code, which could be really in-depth code for this feature of an application, of where something has gone wrong. Great, so in this case, the developer had a view into what's gone wrong. But in certain cases, he might want to see earlier time in what actually happened when this exception or performance issue occurred. What would that experience be like? Remember now, the item has come across as a work item. I have my IntelliTrace log file. Now I can decide if I want to send it back to the operations team for a deeper view into my issue or my error that I might be experiencing. So let's see exactly what that's about now. So in this case, we can close this down. We can stop debugging just from the example perspective. I could now come back to this operational issue that I have assigned to me, and I can work with this, say, right, you know what? I actually need some more information. And you'll notice now, since we've assigned this call, we have the ability to select awaiting evidence as an option. Now, that is a new component that we have added in since I've assigned the work item to myself. So in the beginning, it came through as a new work item. I accepted that. The word was accepted, and I saved. When I did that, it acknowledged to the operations team that we have now taken ownership of this particular alert slash work item. When I've come back now into the second component of the demonstration, I've assigned it to someone. That developer or development group can go and work on that application. Now we've come back and we have the option of awaiting evidence. What that means is I can send that back to my development, my operations team and say, please do a bit more with this. Do some more testing, get a deeper view of something to give me more information that I can use to troubleshoot the problem with this application. And let's see exactly what that looks like now. So if I go back here and I say awaiting evidence, I would need to put some information in, and it could be something like, please do a ping test to the database server. And then generate a longer IntelliTrace file. And I can now save that work item. Now that's sent across, it's saved, awaiting evidence. I've got some resolution notes that I want from a configuration perspective. If I go back to my operations side, I can do a refresh on my alerts that are available for me over here. You'll notice it actually says awaiting evidence as an option. If I open this up now, and I actually drill into the history, I can get a view that this was sent back to me. Now, in this case, I went to the generic administrator, and ideally I would have been logged in as a developer. It would have a view of my account that sits here. But it was marked and said, please do a ping test the database server and then generate a longer IntelliTrace file. First thing, I need to tell the developer he needs to use caps lock correctly. You know, as operations people are quite tricky about stuff like that. But all that's happened here now is we have a process and a workflow that's kicked into play at a very basic level. This can obviously be taken to a lot larger extent. But the key understanding here is that I have my developer and operations team working to resolve an issue. Now, in this case, my developer does not possibly have access to test or ping a certain component within our environment, or doesn't have the ability to run larger tests from an IntelliTrace perspective. So the operations team will take over from that perspective. Now we look back at the console and understand the integration that the operations team has to perform these requests. So let's go back to the console and have a quick look over here. So great, my developer wants me to do a bit of work with this. Great, say cancel, happy with that. If I now look at my tasks component on the right-hand side, so it's on my tasks pane, and I scroll down to the bottom, we start to get a view of work that we can do with an IntelliTrace integration. So this now allows my operations person to go, right, the developer's requested a longer IntelliTrace or more in-depth IntelliTrace. Let me start this and then repeat the experience again that either the user has complained about or that we've picked up as an operations team. In this case, I can run longer IntelliTrace and then save that as an attachment either to the call, send it back to the developers, or save it in a network location for the developers to pull from. So what would that look like? Let's have a see what the experience is like. If I go back here and I say, right, start IntelliTrace collection, I can now either run with the defaults for running this IntelliTrace, again, against the necessary website. How does it know that? Well, it's pulled it from the relevant alert window and the alert and the configuration from what we're monitoring. I can now step in and decide that I might want to overchange the parameters on the monitoring side. This could be information that could have come back from the developers. The developers could have said, please monitor this for 10 minutes and repeat the error a few times. That'll allow us to build up what's going on in the background, some information. At the same time, they could have said, please change the thresholds around a certain component of what you're monitoring. Then run it again and allow us to build up a view of what really is going on earlier than when we've picked up the exception in this case. So now this is where operations can start to play a key role in enabling developers to get deep insight into issues from an application perspective. So let's go back to the console and understand exactly what other options there are available here. So if I now had to make the changes depending on what the actual developer want, I could come and override and make the changes. But ideally then I would kick off and I'd run a longer IntelliTrace and ask the relevant user to repeat, or I would repeat the actual experience the user was going through. And so slowly I would make the changes, I would update this relevant component, come in here, make a change, say please see updated log file. Developer will correct me on my spelling based on I corrected him on his uppercase. I'd say apply, say okay, and now I could send it back to the engineering team. Again, it's the same process, assigned to engineering, and they would get the update on their side. So what have we looked at here now? We've looked at, first in the first demonstration, the configuration required between System Center and Visual Studio. Secondly, the deeper configuration required around Ops Manager and TFS, as well as what the user experience would be like as an operations person or as a developer. Now, ideally at this stage, we would have a process, we would have a workflow, possibly a single portal that both teams could use. They might not both work directly in the console, like I've been showing you here. But at least you can see in the lower workings what's been going on and what the experience is like between a developer or an operations person. Now, this has been a simple demonstration to give you a view of .NET website in this case, an error that's occurred, exception has come through. But the takeaway here is what can be achieved. So now ideally we understand from a monitoring perspective what is available. What do I need to put in place? Whether it be System Center, whether it be Application Insights that we saw in Module 2, or both taking care of certain components and considerations. So ideally now we'll move back to the PowerPoint component of our module to understand. Yes, we've looked at the configuration, we understand the backwards and forwards between the experience for developers and operations people. What are the key pieces I need to keep thinking about from a metrics perspective? Now, you saw as I went through, we mentioned this in Module 1 around the approach and the benefits, is I start to build in a single layer around what is actually happening, a single instance of truth, whether it be a knowledge base, whether it be tracking of a call between develop and operations, there is no more different tool sets with different views of infrastructure, the platform or the application above it. If an error has occurred, the relevant tool will be the single source from a knowledge base perspective, a single source from a repository perspective, or a single location of where I store the relevant attachments for what's been going on in our tracing or troubleshooting from an application performance monitoring perspective. At the same time, we need to look at the metrics around performance. One of the original slides that we had private, public, and hybrid. And at the bottom, we had kind of infrastructure or platform. What is my performance like across those relevant scenarios? If it's on the private side, I have control. I can work with that. I can understand and configure those components. If it's on the public side, what am I able to configure from a performance perspective? Can I increase CPU? Can I increase memory? Can I change the location of where my database sits? The types of disks that I might be using for my application above that? Or if it's software as a service, am I limited by the actual configuration I have available to me? But either way, I need to understand those layers to allow me to tweak the performance. Whether it be up or down or faster or slower, depending on the requirements, I need to understand the control that I can have, because that's going to make an impact to my monitoring tool above it. Whether it be App Insights or whether it be System Center Operations Manager, I need to ensure that performance is set correctly to ensure that the alerting coming through is obviously true alerts. At the same time, my thresholds need to be set correctly from a true alerts perspective. And then on the reporting side, how do I take the information from App Insights, whether it be from System Center, and start to produce proactive reporting back to the business? And this is a key understanding to think about. I need to give value back to my developers and my business on areas that they are responsible for. Instead of producing one generic report that everyone gets to see, let's make some personalized reports around their areas that they're responsible for. As a developer, let's produce a report for the application we're monitoring. As a business owner, let's produce a report that shows the infrastructure metrics. Let's produce a report that shows SLAs that might have been breached. Or give us a report of thresholds, whether it be network, exceptions, OS performance. So as a business, I can look back and see, where is my investment being spent? Or do I need to make more investment in certain areas to improve network, security, or server performance? These reporting, these customized reports, show a proactive benefit back to the business and the developers on the application performance monitoring side. So if we look at the summary of this course now, we've looked at the system center piece and where it fits into application performance monitoring. We've understood SCOM as one of the components in the system center suite, what it's meant to do, what it's able to achieve across many layers, but in this module, application performance monitoring. What can I look at on the performance side or the exception side? And possibly integrate a bit deeper with our development tools, such as Visual Studio, or third party if we're using other components as well. And then what is the experience like from a development or operations team perspective, when I start to work with alerts as they come through? And what is required from a metrics perspective? Because as I start to monitor, I'm building up a view, an historical view as well, on trending, reporting, etc. How do I wrap those metrics up to show value back to the business, to developers, or possibly other operations teams that we might work with hand in hand? So I hope this module has given you a good view of where System Center fits in with regards to application performance monitoring. And now what we'll do is we'll move into the closing module 4, to give us a view and wrap up application performance monitoring as a whole.